Hi, we're going to start the shiu. The shiu is sponsored Lirfua Shlema for Atzair Gavriel Ben Gladi Simcha Bezrat Hashem Bizchut HaTorah Bizchut Kol HaMitzvot and everything, all the mitzvot that we're doing in his name. He should have a Rifua Shlema, Rifuat HaNefesh, Rifuat HaGuf Bekarov. So let's begin the shiu, which will be Lirfua Shlema Shlemato Shlema Shlema for his health. We are beginning Parashat Beshalach. Parashat Beshalach is also known as, this Shabbat is also known as Shabbat Shira. Why is it called Shabbat Shira? It's called Shabbat Shira because we have the famous perek of Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Israel that we say every single morning Shacharit, that we say every single morning Shacharit. The Shira that was sung by the Bnei Israel while crossing the Yam Suf, when it was split for them by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's called Shabbat Shira. So, also, we were let out of Mitzrayim, right? We were taken out of Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. This week's parasha, as it says, Vayhi b'shalach Paro ta'am, it says Paro really sent the nation out, right? What that means is not that Paro has any power, but that Paro couldn't stand us anymore. He didn't want us there anymore, right? He said, the heck with it. I don't need you guys. Please, get out of here. Get out of here. He kicked us out. Right? So, we know that the galut in Mitzrayim, the exile that we experience in Mitzrayim, is the source, is mamash the source for all of the exiles that Am Yisrael would be enduring, would be living through in all future generations, including the one that we find ourselves in today. So we have to ask ourselves the question, in what way does the galut, does the exile in Mitzrayim, in what way does it shed light on the current galut that we are in today? In what ways are they similar? And also, what is the secret to Ge'ulah? What is the secret to our redemption? What can we learn from Yitziat Mitzrayim, from the redemption of the Bnei Israel from Mitzrayim? And how could that help us understand how we could get redeemed from this the current exile that we are in right now? So first, we have to understand what got us to Mitzrayim in the first place. What got the Bnei Israel there in the first place? So we know, very, very simply, it was the lack of unity, the lack of Achdut, between the brothers, between the Achim. So now, it's important to note, before anything, that the brothers, the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, etc., they were great, ginormous tzaddikim. We cannot even fathom, we cannot understand their mistake at all. However, there's a lot to learn from the story of the Shvatim, and it's written in the Torah for us to learn from it, the lessons to learn from the stories, right? We all know that the Torah is not a history book. Far from it. And every single letter of the Torah is there to teach us something, to teach us how to live life. And the story of the Shvatim and how they sold Yosef and how they treated Yosef is there for us to learn. So therefore we have to learn it on a simple level. Without judging Chas v'Shalom, the Shvatim, in any way, as they were great tzaddikim, and like we said before, we cannot even begin to grasp their mistake, because they are on such a high level. So it all started by the way the brothers treated Yosef, which is what led to Yosef coming down to Mitzrayim. He was sold. And after Yosef was sold, we're going to fast forward a little bit, that Yosef revealed himself to the brothers when they came, and eventually Yaakov and the entire family came down to Mitzrayim. They came down to Mitzrayim. So now this theme, this idea, this concept of a lack of unity between the brothers and also between Jews has come up time and time again in Tanakh. Over and over and over again. It's not a new thing, okay? The lack of unity is not something new. It's been with us for many, many, many hundreds of years, many generations, many centuries. If you look at the Rashi in Parashat Miketz, when the Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim the first time, and Yosef accused them of being spies, what does it say? This is Rashi. Rashi points out in Parashat Miketz, Perek Membet, Pasuk Yudbet, right? It says that Yosef said, Ki ervat ha'aretz batem lirot. You came to see your spies. You came to see the land. You came to see the weaknesses of the land. In order to what? In order to take over, eventually take over our land. Rashi points out, how did Yosef know? Why did he say, why did he think to say that they were spies? Sheharei nichnastem be'asara sha'arei ha'ir. Why? Because you came, you entered the land You enter the land in 10 different gates. We know that only 10 Shvatim came down the first time. Yosef was one that was not with them, obviously. Binyamin was left at home. So 12 minus 2 is 10. So 10 Shvatim came down to Mitzrayim. They came in 10 different gates. We already see these divisions. You know, obviously, there's a simple reason why they did that, right? But we already see them causing divisions among themselves. Next, what we see later is in Parashat Shemot in the beginning, very, very beginning of Parashat Shemot. What does it say? Ve'ele Shemot b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayim. These are the names of the b'nei Yisrael that are coming down to Mitzrayim. Et Yaakov, ish uveto vau. Et Yaakov, it says with Yaakov, ish uveto vau. A man and his household came down. Why a man and his household? Points out the Klausenberger Rebbe. Ishu vetovau, that means that they came down and they stuck with their own household. They didn't branch out to the other Shvatim, to their other relatives. They stuck to themselves, they only trusted themselves. Sounds familiar? I think so. They only trusted themselves, their immediate close family. That's what it means, Ishu vetovau. Not only that, few psukim later, what does it say? Vayehi kol nefesh yotze, when it counts, it gives you the final count of the amount of Jews that came down to Mitzrayim. What does it say? Vayehi kol nefesh yotze yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh Yosef ha'am Mitzrayim. How many Jews came down to Mitzrayim? 70, right? But what the Klausenberg Rebbe points out, it says vayehi. We know that the Gemara brings down that whenever it says vehaya, whenever it starts with a pasuk in vehaya, it's a lashon simcha. It's always introducing a happy concept. Whenever it says Vayihi, as it says Vayihi bimei Achashverosh, right? We're coming up to Purim very soon, reading the Megillah. Vayihi bimei Achashverosh. It was bad times. It was during the times of Achashverosh, and we all know the rest of the story, right? That they were that the Jews of that generation were in trouble. They were in trouble. They were going to be destroyed. Vayihi is a lashon of tzar, is a lashon of pain. That's what it means when it says Vayihi. So says the Klausenberger Rebbe, Vayihi kol nefesh yotzei yerech Yaakov shivim nefesh. All the Jews were 70. Why does it say Vayihi? Because something bad is about to happen. Why is something bad about to happen? Because ishu vetovau, because they stuck to themselves. They didn't branch out to their brothers. They didn't connect to their brothers. That's why something bad was about to happen. That was the cause of them coming down to Mitzrayim. That was the cause of the Galut in Mitzrayim. On a simple level, we're not saying any big chidushim over here. If we fast forward to the story of Purim, what happened in the story of Purim? There was a man named Haman, okay? Haman went to Achashverosh, who was the king, who, by the way, as the Gemara points out, both hated Am Yisrael, okay? And he goes and introduces this plan to exterminate, to destroy the Jewish nation. What does Haman say, right? Look at the pasuk in Megillah. In the Megillah, per gimel pasuk chet. What does it say? Yeshno am. Haman goes to Achashverosh. Hey, by the way, I just wanted to let you know that there is a nation. Yeshno am. There is one nation. Echad mefuzar mfrad ben amim bechol medinot malchutecha. In all of your nations of your kingdom that you rule over, there is one nation that they're scattered around. They're scattered around. Vidatem shonot, and so on and so forth, right? So on a simple level, what's Haman trying to tell Achashverosh? Hey, by the way, there's this one nation that's going to cause you problems, and eventually they're going to rebel against you, but the problem is that why it's very problematic for you is that they're not only focused in one place, they're scattered around, and therefore they have more power if they're scattered around, right? They're not focused in one place. But a deeper understanding is that Haman wanted to speak Lashon Hara about the Jewish nation, right? And therefore, what was he trying to say? He was trying to say, hey, Am Yisrael, we have the ability to destroy them. He was telling Achashverosh, we have the ability to destroy them. Why? Because they're separated, because they lack unity. They don't have unity. They're mefuzarum forad. They're separated among all of your nations. And therefore, what does it say? That he says, Im alamelech tov, yikatev le'obdam. So he tells, whenever it says Hamelech, it's referring to Hashem, as the Sfarim point out in the Megillah. Whenever it says Hamelech, it's referring to Hashem, not Achashverosh. And therefore Haman, which is basically trying to plead his case to Hashem, he's saying, Hashem, I know you have a nation, I know you love them, but they don't have unity. They're not united. And therefore, let me destroy them. That's what Haman said. Therefore, let me destroy them. The next pasuk is very scary. What does it say? Vayasar hamelech et taba'ato me'al yado. Vayitineu le'aman ben amdata agagit zorar yudim. And the melech gave over his tabat, his ring, which all the power is included in that ring. He gave that to Haman. And that, the Sfarim point out, was the scariest part of the Megillah. When HaMelech, meaning Hashem, was so upset at Am Yisrael that he gave Haman the permission to destroy Am Yisrael. Very scary. Another time this comes up is at the end of this week's parasha, where Amalek is introduced. Amalek, the only time that Amalek comes to fight with us is when what? Is when we don't have achdut, is when we are separated. How do we see that? Because what does it say at the end of this week's parasha? Vayavo Amalek, and Amalek came, vayilachem im Yisrael birfidim, and they came and they fought with Israel, with the Jewish nation, birfidim. Refidim, so pashup shat, simple understanding, refidim is a place. It's the name of a place, refidim. Right? And the Gemara learns out, refidim, it means rafu yadehem mina Torah. It means that they rafu means to loosen, right? Like ripion yadaim, it means to loosen your hands. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, refidim? It's not an actual place, it's just a hint to what happened there. And what happened there? That the Bnei Yisrael stopped learning Torah. They loosened their hands from learning Torah. And therefore, once they stopped learning Torah, Amalek was able to go, they were given permission to go and attack the Bnei Yisrael. So it shows that as long as you're learning Torah, you have the ultimate protection. Once you loosen your hands from learning Torah, then you give permission to the enemies to come and attack you. That's one understanding brought down in the Midrash, I believe. Another understanding, which is also brought down in the Midrash, is refidim. Berefidim, it also comes from the word mefurad, right? Yesh no'am, mefuzar, u'mefurad. What's mefurad?
Spread out.
Spread out. What's spread out? Not united. Am Yisrael at that time, they had many arguments. Don't think that once they came out of Mitzrayim, they were tremendous tzaddikim. It was not the case at all. It was not the case at all. In fact, as the Midrash points out, they worshipped Avodah Zarah, and that was one of the prosecutions that the angels tried prosecuting against them at the Yam Suf and tried holding them back from crossing the Yam Suf, that they were worshippers of Avodah Zarah. So we see from there they were not great tzaddikim. And also we see from before they crossed the Yam Suf, there were four different opinions, right? Four different opinions among the Jewish nation. Do we go? Do we go back? Do we fight? Do we this? Do we that? Four opinions. They were arguing. What's refidim? A place that they argued. Right? It was a display of lack of unity, of arguments. And because of that reason, Amalek was able to come and wage war with Am Yisrael. It's no coincidence that Haman tried to use the same words to destroy Am Yisrael. Haman comes from Amalek. Haman tried saying, Yesh no'am mefuzar u'mefurad. The same words. Why is he using those same words as his great-grandfather Amalek? Because he knew that's the secret to destroy Am Yisrael. The secret to destroy Am Yisrael, that's the way to do it. The way to do it is to catch them when they're not united. It's to catch them when they're not united. Aside from all of these facts, that Am Yisrael, throughout the generations, you know, had certain times that they were not united, machloket, having arguments and not having unity among our nation, can have very bad ramifications. It can be very bad for our nation. So one of them is a Mamar Chazal. I couldn't find the source for this. If anyone could tell it to me, I saw it brought down and then from the Shlach HaKadosh. The Shlach HaKadosh brings it down. You know the source?
No, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Being like Sephardi and Ashkenazi and whatever, doesn't separate us even more?
Why should it?
Because
the fact that our customs are different, why does
that
mean...
There's a lot of communities that...
Fine. The fact that our customs are different, why does that have to mean that we can't be friends? Why does that mean
in
that we can't be friends?
That happen.
You're right, it happens. Okay, and that's why Mashiach is not here yet. You're right, it happens. Okay. That's why Mashiach's not here yet. Because we can't get past our differences. You're right. That's what this shiur is about. So anyways, moving forward, there's a Mamar Chazal, there's a quote from Chazal. There's a quote from Chazal, and again, if anyone could give me a source for this, I'll be happy to find it. It was in the Shla, and the Shla Kadosh quotes it from Chazal, from a Midrash. I don't know where this Midrash is. What does it say? For all those who want Parnasat Tova, for all those people who during Yom Kippur, when the Chazan says, Share Ora, Share Beracha, Share Parnasat Tova, for those who are the loudest when they say Amen, what does it say? Machloket Achat, one Machloket, Doche, Mea parnasot, can push away 100 sources of parnasa. One time you have this dispute, and you say to another Jew, "Mi ata bichlal? Who are you? Get out of here, I don't want to talk to you ever again. I don't want to have anything to do with you." One time you do that, 100 sources of parnasa, you basically pushed away. That's what you accomplished. That's what the Midrash points out. So it would be very ironic if you are that person who screams on the top of his lungs, by Sharei Parnasa Tova, you say Amen very, very, very loud. Meanwhile, during Yom Kippur, you're yelling at the guy next to you who's sitting right next to you that he's davening a little too loud. It's not going to work, as loud as you say Amen. It's not going to work for Parnasa Tova. It pushes away 100 Parnasot. The Mishnah in Masechet Uktzin, in the third parak, the last Mishnah in the entire Masechet, what does it say? Amar Rabbi Shimon, it's a very famous Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, Lo matza HaKadosh Baruch Hu keli machzik bracha liYisrael, ela HaShalom. Hashem, basically, when Hashem gives you bracha, when Hashem gives you blessing, right, whatever blessing may be, it could be children, it could be health, it could be wealth, whatever it is, blessing. You want blessing, so you need a kli to receive that blessing. You need a cup. Someone wants to pour you some water, you can't just pour it on the table. You need a cup to receive, to accept that water. So the soul too, you need a cup. You need some sort of vessel to receive the bracha that Hashem gives you. And the Mishnah says that Hashem, that the best type of cup, the best type of kli that receives bracha from Hashem is what? Is Ashalom. Is Shalom, is peace. When you have peace, you're basically buying the most expensive, the most durable, highest quality cup to receive the bracha that Hashem gives you. The best way to receive the bracha is if there is peace. As it says, Hashem Yivarech, Hashem Oz Lamo Yiten, Hashem will give might, Hashem will give Oz, bracha to His nation, Hashem Yivarech Tamo B'Shalom. Only with Shalom. There's a saying, listen to this, very scary, from Rav Pinchas from Karetz. Rav Pinchas from Karetz, one of the big Hasidic rabbis. This is a quote that I saw from him. He says like this, "B'makom sheshnei Yehudim merivim ze im ze," in a place that two Jews are fighting, are arguing with one another, "umzalzelim ze et ze," and they disgrace one another, they call each other names, "nitma ze ha-makom sevivam ad bet me'ama," 200 amot radius from that location becomes contaminated, becomes impure. This is what Rav Pinchas from Karetz says. Ve'techev, and immediately afterwards, now this is just to point out, this is Rav Pinchas from Karetz, who had Ruach HaKodesh, that the story about him is on Sukkot, on the Ushpizin, when he is about to enter the Sukkah every single year, he had the Ushpizin coming in, walking in with him. Avraham Avinu, the first night, he walked in, he had conversations with Avraham Avinu, he had conversations with Yitzchak every single night. This is how holy this person is. And he says that when two people are arguing, having machloket, and disgracing one another, making fun of one another, what happens is that 200 amot surrounding that place, that location, becomes tameh. Ve'techef nitmale ze hashetach klipot v'shedim mashchitim mazikim. Evil, evil, evil spirits come and haunt that place. U'mazik le'umad sham. And whoever passes by that place, whoever's standing in that area, is damaged by those damagers, by those evil, evil angels that are created. One must love every single Jew for the very reason that he is Jewish. Nothing more than that. Not because he has money, not because he's a nice guy, not because he's family, because he is Jewish. Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, wanted to kill every Jew, not because they were religious, not because they were rich, not because they had money, not because this, because they were Jewish. So we have to do the exact opposite. Love every single Jew, independent of everything else, that all the external things. Love every single Jew because they are Jewish. One must feel the pain of another Jew. When you hear about a random Jew across the world who is in pain, you got to feel that pain, as if it's happening to a close family member of yours. There's a story that I read in the Baba, in this book, Legacy of Our Leaders, from the Baba Sali. His yard site was just this past Shabbat. That what happened was that there was a person who, a rabbi that was traveling, and his plane was hijacked in the Jordanian desert. This is how the story goes. It's quoted in this book. You could read it up if you want. His nephew, who was in Israel, went to Rav Yisrael Abuchatzer, went to the Baba Sali, and wanted to ask him to pray for his uncle that was on this plane, being in the middle of in the middle of that plane being hijacked. In the middle of that plane being hijacked, right? He wanted the Baba Sali to pray for his uncle, for all the other people that were on that plane. He walked into the Baba Sali's home, and Kayadua, we all know that every single day was another party in the Baba Sali's home. He always had seudot. Every guest that came, he made a seuda. He gave arak, wine, you know, seuda, mamash, like Shabbat. He had a seuda. And he walked in, and he saw that Baba Sali was making a seuda. So Baba Sali went to go wash his hands. And he couldn't talk after he washed his hands, he couldn't talk until after he made amotzi. So he was waiting until he made amotzi. He goes over to him, and he says, listen, I just wanted to tell you, I wanted to ask you if you knew about the situation with my uncle and the hijacked plane. Says the Baba Sali, last night I lit a candle for the tzaddikim on that plane, and I saw a strong light coming from that candle. What that means was that I knew that my prayers were answered. I already started praying for all the Jews on that plane. You're not coming to introduce this to me for the first time. I started praying a few days ago. Last night when I lit the candle, I saw a strong light coming out of that candle. And right now I saw a strong light. And that is a good sign that everyone's going to come back safe. And now I'm making a seuda to celebrate this occasion. Don't worry. They're going to come home before Rosh Hashanah, he said. This took place in the month of Elul, which is the month right before Rosh Hashanah. As predicted by the Baba Sali, this rabbi landed in America 1 hour before Shkia. On Erev Rosh Hashanah. That's when the hijacked plane landed in America. What am I trying to say? This last few lines. Prior to the arrival of his visitors, someone overheard the Baba Sali saying, this is what they heard him saying, okay? Quote, "The pain that I have for each person on that plane is greater than the pain of the people who are on the plane itself. I'm in more pain hearing this news. I'm in more pain than the people who are on the plane themselves." And the truth is, that's the sympathy that every single Jew has to have. And we see this by Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the one who led the Bnei Israel. It's not a coincidence that who led the Bnei Israel out of Mitzrayim? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why Moshe? Why is he the chosen one? Because what does it say about Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? Vayigdal Moshe, vayetzeh lecha, vayar besivlotam. He saw in the pain of the other Jews. He saw in their pain. He felt their pain. And he went and he wanted to go sacrifice his life for them. So what happened? What ended up happening? The Bnei Israel, for when they came out of Mitzrayim, what was this process until Matan Torah? This process was trying to attain unity, trying to attain Achdut. How do we know that that was the process? Because eventually, what ended up happening, when they received the Torah, what does it say? Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, they camped right before the mountain, and it says Vayichan. Vayichan is a singular tense, right? Singular. But we're talking about over 600,000 Jews. Why does it say Vayichan, singular tense? Points out Rashi Beshen, the name of the Midrash, Keish Echad Belev Echad, because the Jews were united. Once the Jews were united, bam, they reached their peak, they reached the 49th level of Kedusha, and they received what? The Torah. That's the end of the process. When they were Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar, when they were Keish Echad Belev Echad. So during that process, they weren't there yet, but they were getting there. And what are signs that we saw that they were getting there? So points out the Chafetz Chaim something unbelievable. He quotes in the name of the Midrash that when the Bnei Israel wanted to cross the Yam Suf, cross the ocean, there wasn't one split, there were 12 splits. For every Shevet. Reuven had their own Kriyat Yam Suf. Shimon, his own Kriyat Yam Suf. And that entire family. 12 splits. So you're going to say, again, we find these divisions between Am Yisrael. Again, we find it. But no, points out the Chafetz Chaim, that water is clear. You're able to see through water. You're able to see through water. So although they were split, they were divided, but they were able to see onto the other side. They were able to feel the pain of the other person in the lane next to him. They were able to be united. They were able to see them, to live with them. The Rambam, and I want to finish with this. The Rambam points out, I want to read to you the words of the Rambam from Hilchot Matnot Aniim, Perek Yud. This is what the Rambam says. It's scary to hear this. V'chol mishehu achzari ve'eno merachem. Any Jew that you find that is achzari, that is cruel, that is not nice to other Jews, he's not merciful to other Jews, says the Rambam, Yesh lachush leichuso. there is reason to believe that he's not Jewish. That somewhere down the line, his father, grandfather, great-grandfather was not even Jewish. Why? She'en hachzariyut metzuya ele be'akum. V'chol Yisrael v'anilvei alehem ke'achim hem. And all Jews are like brothers. And if you find a Jew that does not have mercy for another Jew, he may not be Jewish. There's reason to believe that he may not be Jewish, says the Rambam. Shenemar banim atem la'Hashem elokechem. You are children to Hashem, your God. What does that mean, that all Jews are children to Hashem? That means that every Jew is a brother. If you're all children to the same father, that means that you're brothers, that we're all brothers. That's exactly what it means. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bizchut da'achdut, bizchut the efforts that we should all, Bezrat Hashem, we should all take upon ourselves. That any time someone says something a little off, a little out of line, you don't respond, you don't have hatred to him, you love him, you love him, you love him. Why? He's Jewish. You love him because he's Jewish. Someone, Sephardi, Ashkenazi, Chabad, whatever, Panama, Venezuela, whoever you're from, who cares? Hitler didn't care. Why should we care? Bezrat Hashem, bizchut da'achdut, the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam, because of self-hatred. And bizchut the achdut that we're going to have, we should all be zoche to geula shlema v'amitit b'mera v'amenu. Amen. Chazak u'baruch to everyone.